Governor Charlie Baker is expected to announce today that he'll continue funding the Massachusetts Life Sciences Initiative with $500 million over the next 5 years. The initiative, started by former Governor Deval Patrick, received $1 billion in funding for its first 10 years. Critics question whether additional funding is needed, since the biotech sector here has grown so much. With all this as a backdrop, WBUR's Asma Khalid this morning takes a look at how Boston has become the premier location to start a biotech company.
The birth of biotech really goes back decades, to the 1970s. It was a time of unprecedented research in molecular biology. But the idea of playing with genes made people uncomfortable. So in June 1976, the Cambridge City Council held a hearing to discuss DNA experimentation.
The people here pay the taxes, and they bear the risk, and they're supposed to reap the benefits. Well, let them decide. Let them decide. I don't remember taking part in any debate that said the United States is going to go ahead with genetic engineering research.
Long story short, the city council decided to regulate the industry. And by regulating it, they created certainty. And in business, certainty is good.
Ultimately, Cambridge gave us permission to begin research here.
That's Nobel Prize-winning scientist Phil Sharp. He's one of the co-founders of Biogen.
Biogen was the first, as far as I'm aware, to get a genetic engineering license in Cambridge.
Biogen was created in 1978, and it's become kind of the patriarch of the biotech family, raising grandkids all around Kendall Square. Sharp is giving me a tour of the area and points to Biogen's current headquarters. The company is now home to some 7,000 employees.
In 1980, we had a very small building here. We probably had 20, 30 people. Maybe. And what we were trying to do is to use this recombinant DNA technology to make new therapeutics.
It was revolutionary in its day. There was nothing else like it. Well, frankly, Sharp says, there was just nothing else really here at all.
When I came to MIT, the area we're standing in, which is between Binney Street and Main Street, was empty. There were parking lots here. There was nothing here in some areas, just grass.
These days, Kendall is home to the highest concentration of biotech companies in the world. One key ingredient that's changed in the last couple of decades is the culture. That's what Nubar Afayan told me. He's the CEO of Flagship Pioneering, one of the leading venture capital firms in the area.
In the early days, you know, companies would license things occasionally from universities. Universities, by and large, looked at the professors who were involved in this activity as a bit oddballs, and, you know, kind of they were worried about their motivations. Are they there to make money, or are they there to seek knowledge? We're past that now.
The dichotomy between pure science and profitable science just no longer exists. Afayan created Flagship to tap into that changing culture. It's a bit of an atypical venture capital firm. It creates companies as opposed to investing in outside startups.
We don't find researchers. We do the research. We have some 300 patents over the last 15 years. So we have a large army of scientists that are dedicated to inventing new technologies and new science.
In the last 2.5 years, 13 flagship companies have gone public. And as the culture has changed, so has the money. There is so much cash being poured into biotech R&D. To date, flagship companies have raised some $7.5 billion. I wanted a second opinion about these changes Afayan described. So I met Bob Tepper. He's one of the founders of Third Rock Ventures, another top VC firm.
I'm a physician by training, and in fact, I came to Boston in 1977 to go to school right where we're sitting now at Harvard Medical School.
Back when he was at Harvard, he launched his own biotech startup.
And I kept that very quiet. And interestingly, that company we started in California because the San Francisco Bay Area was a much more progressive area and more accepting area for starting biotechnology then.
Yep, you heard that correctly. Tepper was living here in Boston, working at Harvard, but started his company on the other edge of the country, just because it was easier. That has all changed, he says. In the 90s, he started to notice the same cultural shift in academia Afayan mentioned. Then, in the last decade, the big change, he says, is that Big Pharma came to town, specifically to go shopping in Kendall. The cutting-edge work, like gene therapy or microbiome research, was happening there, often by small startups.
The pharmaceutical industry, the large companies, were desperately in need of new drugs. More research now is done externally in the pharmaceutical industry than internally. And they are looking toward the great small biotechnology companies to really fuel that pipeline.
And so today you have a complete ecosystem, a symbiosis between big pharma and teeny startups. They both need one another to survive. But the question is biotech here to stay with or without any help from the government?
The lion's share of investment, of course, comes from the private sector. Where I think both the state and, in particular, the federal government really needs to focus is on making sure that we just have as much of an investment as we could possibly afford in basic science.
Tepper says the private sector is always going to fund profitable companies. But science isn't always profitable. And so the $500 million investment Governor Baker is making in the life sciences could help on the edges, building infrastructure or helping fledgling companies get off the ground. For now, the Boston area is home to some 1,000 biotech-related businesses. And so I asked Phil Sharp, the man who co-founded Biogen, if Boston today really is the best place to launch a biotech company. And he laughed at me as if that's a no-brainer.
No question. No question. It's the best place in the world.
But then he offered some caution.
Any private sector business is dynamic. If it doesn't change, grow, and become different, it'll die.
And longtime Bostonians vividly remember how that's happened before. They'll point to Route 128 when the mini computer was all the rage. But eventually, that bubble burst and Silicon Valley won out. Sharp says change is going to happen in the private sector. You've just got to be ahead of the change. And so I ask him what that means for biotech.
I think one of the transformative parts of what the next 20 years will hold is engineering with medicine and biotech. And I think we're ahead of that story.
Sharp sees a future where big data and biotech feed off of each other through machine learning. And whoever does that better, whatever city that is, will probably win out in the future. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Asma Khalid.